All right, I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and I want to make sure I get your last name right, John. Pronounce your name for me, if you would, please.
It's John Tamney.
Tamney, T-A-M-N-Y, is that right? I had two different spellings in all of the info I got, so I just want to make sure I had it correct.
Yep, someday I'm going to make it Smith.
good answer. I like that. All right, you've got a new book coming out, I believe, today. When politicians panicked, the new coronavirus, and we talk about this subject, by the way, on almost a daily basis.
Oh, good. Well, this will be fun then. This will really be
we're going to have a good time. This is right up Andy and I's alley, believe me. All right, so tell me about the book. What all's in it?
Well, it's an economics book. There will be lots of health books written. Mine is an economics book
okay. That
makes the basic case that if something of a health nature threatens, the only answer is economic growth. Economic growth is the biggest enemy of death and disease the world has ever known.
Agree.
Absolutely.
Poverty is the biggest killer
right. The
world has ever known.
That's right.
Thus raising the obvious question, why on earth did politicians choose death and economic desperation as the answer to a virus? Historians will marvel at the abject stupidity of the political class that they went this route.
You want my answer, John?
I do.
It's called the golden rule. The guy with the gold rules, and the left wants to rule over everybody. They don't want to lift them up. They want to push them down because that's how you rule over people. That's my answer.
Yeah, my only question about that is that why did the rest of the world commit suicide?
Because they're in the same boat, socialistic, you know, socialism and communism speaking, if you would. They're in that same boat. And again, I don't know. That's just my own personal opinion. I think they're in the same boat.
Yeah, most of the world is socialist.
So they look at it the same way.
We didn't become socialist until January. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I hear you.
We could be wrong, John, but otherwise, I don't know any other logical explanation to answer your question. Otherwise, I don't know the answer.
Well, because I think a lot of Americans panicked, too.
They did.
Before the lockdowns, one of the things I point out in the book is that we didn't need a law. See, in the alleged science-denying states that lockdown last, guess what? And this was all documented in the New York Times. In those states, the people started taking precautions the soonest. They didn't need to be forced to be more careful. They started going out less. They started going to restaurants less. They were making their own decisions. The people generally don't need to be forced to not die or get sick, and so they just did it on their own. And so I'm a bit more optimistic in that sense. Americans are wildly productive people. The idea that the world's going socialist, China, to visit China is to be blown away by all the economic activity there, and American businesses get a lot of their business from sales there. And so I'm more optimistic about the future. I think Americans got a taste of command and control, and they'll never allow politicians
to
do this.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, John, let's take a look at the future, because right now you have states that are opening up,
yeah. And
their COVID numbers, by the way, continue to plummet. We look at Texas, we look at Florida, their COVID numbers are going great, and their economic numbers are going up. Do you see this affecting the more liberal states around them, where the pressure is kind of coming on them?
It's going to have to, and it's a great question. Here is where I'm so troubled by what the federal government did. Now, we all know, as you allude, different states try different things in the U.S., and that's the way it should be. We're a constitutional republic. The power resides in the states. But ask yourself the question, what if last spring, Donald Trump says there's no way I'm signing a $2.9 trillion spending bill? What if Republicans say there's no way we're going that route? Because any government spending is a non sequitur. We weren't calling for it before the lockdown. The economy was fine. And the lockdowns, the economy would be fine.
Right.
But think about what that meant. It enabled California to lock down and still be somewhat locked down. It enabled New York to still be locked down. You take away the federal involvement,
Agree.
Lockdowns.
Agree. No, John, you are literally speaking, you know, Andy and I's language. I've been talking about this stuff literally for a year plus, and you're exactly right. And again, the only answer that I have along those lines is, and I love Donald Trump dearly. I'm a huge supporter, still am to this day, but I think he had some very, very bad advisors around him, got a lot of bad advice, and did things that, frankly, looking back on, I think were huge, terrible mistakes, one of them being what you just talked about.
Oh, without question. Because think about what if he had stuck to his guns. Now, remember, so as you both know, Trump said no big deal. But so did Vogue editor Anna Wintour. They both agreed on this. This wasn't much of a virus. Bill de Blasio is taking subways around New York saying, people, live your lives, go see movies. The New York Times is saying, let's not overreact. That was the consensus. And so imagine if Trump sticks to his guns and says, you know, states have their autonomous within our republic. But I want you to know that if you choose economic desperation, if you choose destroying of jobs and businesses as your solution to this, I will camp out in your state. I've got Air Force One, and I'm going to spend all my time in the states that lock down. Now, think about what happens there. For one, he gives Republican governors cover to not do something that was so inimical to progress and health, idiotic lockdowns. For two, he gives global leaders the same cover. What the U.S. does sets the tone. If we had said, are you kidding?
Right.
We're not going to destroy our economy to fight a virus.
Agree.
So Trump could have done politically the right thing, economically the right thing. He'd still be president today.
Yes, he would.
And he would be venerated on a way even the left couldn't take away the bouquets thrown his way if he hadn't panicked.
Hey, John, do you think a lot of the reason for the panic, either by Trump or by some of the governors, comes from fear?
It came from Fauci.
And, well, here's what I mean.
Fear.
Obviously, all panic comes from fear. It's the same thing. But what I mean is this. Fear of two things. Lawsuits and media reprisals. So let's say he says, hey, we're not going to do $2.9 billion in the spending. And he doesn't put any of that spending through. Then the predicted surge in COVID cases comes. Doesn't everybody turn on Trump and say, we're all dying because you did nothing? And secondly, don't you think a lot of people locked down fast because they were worried about lawsuits from people who died? I mean, who had loved ones who died?
Great question. The first thing I say, they already came after Trump.
They did.
They were going
to
vilify Trump either way. And so why don't Republicans for once act like Republicans and say there's no way we would choose desperation as the solution? Because in answering your question, yes. So they predicted 2.5 million deaths at Imperial College. Well, that's your argument for doing nothing. Because if you think that many Americans are going to die, let's say it's 10 million if the prediction is, who needs a law at that point? Wouldn't have Americans have kind of shut down on their own? Wouldn't they have taken precautions on their own?
Well, and to your point earlier, John, I think some did. Keep in mind, and again, not defending anybody because I believe you're correct on everything you're saying, and I think Trump made huge mistakes. That's why he's not president today. But real quick, keep in mind, and we were watching, at least I was, watching press conferences literally daily with, you know, Birx and Fauci basically talking about how bad this thing was. If we don't do something, there could be as many as 100 million people in the U.S. dead, on and on. I mean, these were real things these people were saying, none of which came true, of course, because it really isn't as bad as what they all made it out to be. But in some of these guys' defense, Trump's included, that was the advice he was getting.
Yeah, well, but again, we pay these guys to be leaders. And so my response is, if they're predicting 100 million, then you really know there's no need for government response because people are going to...
True.
No one needs to be forced to not kill themselves.
True.
No one needs to not avoid things that might cause them to die. You know, if they legalize heroin tomorrow, if they legalize driving 150 miles an hour on the road, are you going to do it? Of course not, because you value your life. You value what you have. And so the idea that we needed to be forced this time, I reject, and I just think that this was a huge missed opportunity.
Agree.
Yes, they panicked.
Agree.
I think you make a crucial point about the lawsuits with businesses, and it speaks to what would have happened if we'd set people free. My guess is that for the reasons you say, probably Disney shuts down altogether. A big business like that can't be seen as a super spreader.
Unless, John, one other thing that could have happened, which we've talked about here, and I don't know if you've thought about this or not, I'm sure you have, unless instead of passing a $2 trillion stimulus bill, they would have passed some sort of a protection against lawsuits to businesses over COVID bill, then that wouldn't have happened.
Enter at your own risk bill.
Right.
My guess is it still would have happened because Disney would have said, we don't want the brand risk of it coming out that we're that
yeah,
our
possibly.
Are
but that's their call.
And so, precisely. So think about this. So Disney has the capital to shut down. It also has the institutional backing. As investors say, okay, you're going to take precautions. We're not going to pull the rug out from under you. But the small corner business isn't in that position. So the small business says, oh, look, we're going to continue on as is.
Right.
Some businesses say, well, you know what? If you come in at 8 o'clock, we're going to charge you double the price to eat. If you come in at 4 o'clock, it'll be half price. At 10 o'clock, half price. We're going to use price signals to moderate crowds. Other businesses say, we're not going to do that at all, but you'll use your own judgment. If it looks too crowded inside here, you'll go somewhere else. Imagine that. And so different businesses trying different things rather than being led around by those who gave us the post office and the DMV.
Right.
And so in doing and trying different things, businesses were going to create crucial information for the Disneys. This is how you reopen. This is the world in a post-COVID environment. These are the things that that consumers most want. But see, they never got the chance.
That's right.
It was one size fits all. You're shut down.
You're correct. Yeah.
And so we blinded everyone to the answers necessary to how to get back into business.
That's right.
And John, by the way, I was playing devil's advocate. I was totally against lockdowns and totally against spending the $3 trillion.
Right.
I think it was all completely wrong. I was just trying to find what possible reason could they have done it. Looking forward, what about panic fatigue? I think there are a lot of people who are simply fatigued of running on panic all the time. And so when they see a state next to them open up, and I mean really open up, you can go out without your mask, you can live your life. Do you see a lot of people just, shall we say, vacationing elsewhere from where they live? And maybe, and so you see that these states that are more open making a lot of money, and so that the other states have to say, we got to open up.
Unquestionably, and in the final chapter of my book, I tell a story that you all, I know you remember this. Remember back in July 4th last year when those nitwit politicians in California said, no fireworks shows.
Right.
Well, remember those videos coming out from Southern California saying, oh, really?
Yeah.
And so they were all having their own, a big middle finger to a patronizing political class that said, you can't be trusted to protect your own life. You can't be trusted to operate your own business. You can't be trusted to go to the work to work the way you would. Americans are the wrong people to tell you can't do something. Remember, we descend from the crazies. We descend from the people who crossed oceans. So in love were they with the idea of freedom. And so you don't take freedom from... I'm hearing Biden saying right now that, yeah, by July 4th, you can get together for barbecues with close family members.
Yeah, I don't need his permission.
Yeah, wrong people to tell that to.
That's right.
Guess what? We've been doing it all along.
That's right.
You do not take away freedom from the American people. And I think you're right. I think there's immense fatigue. And the sad tragedy of this is politicians in crying wolf, they've lost credibility. Now,
agree.
I think that's a wonderful thing. Sad for them, but great for us.
Agreed.
How can anyone take them seriously again after they blundered over and over again with this?
John, last question from me. You talk a lot in your book about fallout and obviously economic fallout, how this has destroyed an economy. What about education fallout? What this has done to children, both in their education and in their development?
Well, to me, it's more their development. For me, school was always about kids getting to make friends and getting a life. The saddest story of all is a local one. Montgomery County, where I live in Maryland, They announced the closure of public schools, and so my wife's on a listserv. You can imagine I'm not allowed to go on it because I would offend everyone. And this nice woman talked about her child, who's a bit autistic, who'd never fit in school before. Now get this. This child finally got into the school band in high school and was making friends and was falling in love with school. And then these sick politicians shut things down. And that's what we have to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's their actions, what they do to people. For so many, school is an outlet. It's a chance. This kid was finally making friends. And politicians just rob them. Think about college students. They rob them of the best years of their lives.
That's right. You're right.
It goes beyond education for me. Look, there's no way either of you could be stupid. You care about yourself enough to read and be informed. Me too.
Yep.
And I think that describes most Americans. But it's the interaction. It's this notion that the very human beings who drive all progress are suddenly a lethal menace to one another, that if I'm around you, I might kill you. And taking that away from people, the beauty of just getting to be with friends and enjoying life, this is sick. This is pathological, and we must say never again.
Agree. Again, John Tamney, the book is When Politicians Panicked, The New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. John, it's great. I see it's on Amazon right now. Folks can go there and buy the book, I assume.
Yes, please. Thank you so much for having me.
Good
on.
Stuff. So no, love to have you back. This is good. You speak our language, John. Appreciate you writing the book.
Anytime.
Thanks, man. Thank really you. Appreciate it. And folks, read the book. I'll come back. I want to add a couple of things that we were just talking about there as soon as we come back. Sentinel Center is up next, folks. Give Dr. Julie a call if you're just not feeling on your game. 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy. But you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
All right, Franktown Firearms, I'm saying it all along here, folks, ever since last week, and again, with the Biden administration, if I were to buy a gun, I would buy it now. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't delay. Prices are going to go up. Inventories are going to decrease. The wait time is going to get longer. I would not delay. Get out to Franktown now and get that done. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
At Franktown Firearms, you can always get better. It's a very conservative notion that no matter how good you are right now, life is all about improving yourself. That's exactly how the team at Franktown Firearms is looking at training, which is why they offer a greater diversity of platforms than most shooting ranges, including static, moving and shooting, and target acquisition engagement, so you can always get better. It's a great feeling to see your skills improving, and at Franktown Firearms, you have literally unlimited potential. Sign up for one-on-one instruction on the range or register for a group class catered to your level of ability. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Your company is bleeding time and money, and John Rush will find those leaks. You're too stuck in day-to-day weeds to step back and see the big picture. You need a qualified, experienced business coach to take stock of your expenses and see where you and your employees are wasting time and money. John firmly believes that every business owner needs a coach because you're too close to the situation to be objective. Email John now and make more money. John@rushtoreason.com.
They help people and don't take any government money. Wow, it's Holy Week, and we are highlighting the work of people in our community who are helping others. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Amanda Hochmuth with Denver Street School joins me. You'll learn how they are bringing hope to Denver's at-risk kids, and you'll learn about Hope Academy, which helps teenage girls who are survivors of complex trauma. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group shares thoughts on his favorite charity. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in with John Rush. And John, there's a real problem coming as we start seeing the freedoms expand. What about the Karens? You know, we were talking at break about Mrs. Kravitz in the old Bewitched show.
Looking out the window.
Let me tell you something about the Karens. They draw their purpose from controlling others.
And they have been empowered for the last year.
Right. Mrs. Kravitz, did you notice she was a person, a human with no purpose in her life? Her entire life was, how can I make others do and what I think they should do? How can I expose others for what I think they should be doing? And right now, Karens have spent the last year being gods.
That's right.
This has been the greatest thing, Andy. Oh my gosh, this has been the greatest thing that's ever happened to them. They have gone through their lives feeling powerless unless they could control others. And for the last year, they have been powerful. Everywhere they go, if they go to Sam's Club, they just revel in the fact that everybody's having to wear a mask. Everywhere they go, okay, we're going to see fewer and fewer masks. They're going to get angry. They're going to start lashing out at you folks when you are at the store, when you are at in your neighborhood, when you are walking the dog without a mask on, which you should have been doing already. They are going to start feeling less worthwhile, less purpose. And they're going to lash out at you because they want to hold on to that control. John Rush.
Yes, they are. No, you're correct,
John Rush,
Andy.
What do you do when you encounter these people over the next 6 months?
And by the way, all of you are going to. If you're not a Karen, you're going to encounter a Karen as things loosen up. And they see you walk into a store that they think you ought to be wearing a mask up to, or a restaurant, or whatever, or you're at a school event, or whatever it happens to be. They're going to be out and about, and they're going to be making sure that you do what you're supposed to do, not even what the government says you're supposed to do. They have their own set of rules.
Right.
Right?
And by the way, they're not just out there. They're in your family.
They're everywhere.
Okay? They're at family gatherings and so forth. And you don't want to be belligerent because you don't want to be the person spreading hate to stop hate. But by the same token, John, don't you at some point have to simply say no?
I think you need to follow that up with no, the facts and the data don't support what you're trying to get me to do. And they don't, by the way.
Yeah. I'm into data.
Now, they may come back and say, well, what do you mean? And you can have some things in the back of your mind that you're already armed with and say, well, you know, go look, you know, just go Google COVID-19 in Colorado, which, by the way, I did a moment ago. And guess what our average death rate over the last 7 days in Colorado is, Andy?
No clue. What is it?
A whopping 2. Out of 5.5 million people, Andy, it's a whopping 2.
Hey, really quick, I got a good answer, and it just came in from my wife.
Okay.
You think if we pretend to not speak English, they'll leave us alone?
Good answer.
You know, that's hard with a family member, honey, but you can try that.
Yeah, it is harder with that. Yeah, but you get where I'm coming from. I mean, you have to be armed with facts.
She does that with me all the time, by the way.
And by the way, if you look at the graph since January 28th in Colorado deaths, by the way, and I would tell Karen this, I don't care about cases. Don't give me the case numbers. I don't care. That's not an issue. I care about deaths. That's what I really care about, because I don't want anyone to die, so I care about deaths. And in Colorado, you can see the trend just going down and down and down and down and down to where right now the average 7-day death rate in Colorado right now as of yesterday is 2.
Can I give you another quick stat you can throw out?
Sure.
Polis took us from 6th to 35th
in the nation
in
when
employment.
It comes to the economy, yes.
Okay, yeah, but that's a lot of people who don't have jobs anymore. So, Karen, all of your restrictions and everything have destroyed an awful lot of lives.
Right.
So no thanks.
John and Cheyenne, you got a comment? What's going on, sir?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say the kid from Brooklyn comes out when they get in my face. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. And by the way, I do think there's situations where if they're really coming on strong, you have to come on, you know, almost as strong going back to them and basically, you know, get out of my face sort of thing.
Well, I use words that I have to go to confession for.
John, you use words they invented confession
there
for.
There you go.
Well, Andy, remember when we were in the service, those words?
Yeah.
Yeah, those and then some. Because you know what? You can't give them an inch because they've already taken a mile.
They have,
and the
John.
Give into them.
Yeah, no, you're correct.
I had one in a parking lot say, hey, put a mask on. And I just turned and said, why don't you go blankety blank and drop dead?
I'm not advocating that, listeners. That's John and Cheyenne. You're welcome to listen to him.
Great.
I can't say that, John.
About it? They were so stunned that they didn't know what to say.
But I feel you, man. I feel you. So, yeah, I was going to say, what was the response like? What did they do?
They were scared, and they stepped away because here's the other thing, and I can get away with it. When you're 6'4" and 250 pounds,
true,
people look twice.
Yes, yes. You do have that in your favor. Yes, you do.
Yes. And when you look them dead in the eye and don't back down, that's the other thing.
That is a good point, John, that you're making. Even if you're just going to give them some factual data, I think that is what you have to do, is make eye contact and say, listen, time out. Do you actually understand the factual data going on here, and give them some things to counter that? And to your point,
right.
I do believe this. If they're coming on super strong, I don't think we should be mealy-mouthed and just walk away. I think you need to be super strong back. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issues with that.
Yeah, and if they're afraid of somebody who's going to stand up to them, so 99 out of 100 of them are going to back right down if you get in their face. You go back at them hard.
Probably say to somebody who's, at the store or that, I'd probably say, I follow mm-hmm. my facts, not your fear.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, good answer.
And the other thing is that when I was out, we were hiking on a trail, and somebody said, you should have a mask on. And I said, no, that's not what the Surgeon General said.
That's right.
He said, if you can't social distance, then wear a mask outdoors. Otherwise, you don't have to wear one.
Right.
And they said, well, I never heard that. I said, well, go look it up.
Good answer.
But I think the biggest thing is to stand up.
Agree.
Just don't
agree,
back
John.
Down.
Yes.
My sister in New York is a drank the Kool-Aid liberal. Thinks and what can you do? She's in New
right.
York,
right?
And I fight with her all the time about it. I said, your facts are not right. Well, where do you get your facts from? I read. Remember? She goes, well, CNN told me, and I said, thank you. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah.
John,
you're spot on. I got to run to break. Good stuff. No, I appreciate it. This is something we're going to come back and talk to more, because a lot of you are going to need some advice and some help on this, because trust me, this is, as we start to open up, the Karens are not going to want to. They have been empowered for a year plus now, and they do not want to give that control up.
All these things we learn about how to de-escalate a crisis moment, we're going to be applying it constantly.
Yes, we are. Unfortunately, yeah. You are correct. All right, we'll come right back. We got another special guest joining us. Don't go anywhere. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. If you want that free mortgage review, give Kurt a call. No obligation. Just find out how he can save you money. And if not, great. You're in good shape. He'll tell you, though. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hey, folks, you know where there's another Karen at? A lot of times at the insurance company. They're the ones telling you where you need to go get your car fixed rather than letting you decide where to go get it fixed. I'm being very serious when I say that. That's not a joke. They can very much be a Karen.
But they're not in control, are they?
They are not. Don't let them be, because they will try to be if you allow them to. So, folks, I mean what I just said. There's a lot of Karens on that side of the fence as well. Go to a good shop. You can use any shop you want to. When your vehicle needs repaired, whether that's a mechanical issue or, in this case, a collision issue, they can take care of you, and it's your choice. You control the process. Find a good shop near you. There's three locations. Go to klzradio.com or call direct 720-541-7697.
You don't need to schedule an appointment or drive anywhere for a free estimate from a good shop. Other than the actual collision itself, scheduling an estimate might be the most stressful part of auto body work, because you don't have time for it. You're already worried about how much the repairs will cost. You're worried about how long your vehicle will be out of commission. And you still need to figure out whether or not you should make an insurance claim because you're worried about your premiums going up. Al Sturm, owner of A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, has always looked to the future, providing new, different, and better services than the corporate conglomerates. Click on the mobile estimate button at klzradio.com/collision and enter your phone number to start taking photos for your free virtual estimate from A Good Shop. Certified collision repair worth referring. Mention KLZ Radio in your estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Cases are dropping in those notorious states, and the states that are clamped down, cases are going up. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they don't know what they're doing. They have no idea how to stop coronavirus.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Craig Rucker joining us now, and a co-founder of CFACT, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization dedicated to advocating for the free market solutions to environmental and societal problems since, by the way, 1985 for over 30 years. Craig, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Oh, thank you for having me on the program, but you are making me feel old.
Oh, well, I'm right there with you, so don't feel bad.
1985.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the oil and gas leasing bans and what 13 states are doing about it.
Yeah, actually 14 states now.
Perfect.
But essentially, our new president, Joe Biden, passed an executive order back in January 27th, about a week out of office, which put a moratorium on all leasing and the sales of leases. And while it is reviewed by the Department of Interior, it's part of his effort to address climate change and a commitment to try to take one-third of all federal lands off the table from any sort of development whatsoever. It's a marked contrast to what President Trump did, which brought us to energy independence and probably the strongest economy we've had since World War II. So this has upset a lot of states, especially Louisiana, which draws literally, I think it's like $78 million of revenue. And they use this, of course, to fund their schools and all sorts of public projects. And they were joined by a bunch of other states and a different lawsuit in Wyoming launched also saying that the president's actions were not legal and in violation of certain laws. They didn't follow procedure. And it'll now be taken to the courts.
Hey, Craig, quick question here. Because Louisiana is so involved, did this affect offshore as well as onshore?
It did, yeah. It's, any federal lands or waters. And interestingly, the again, a part of his overall effort is to try and stop or create no development on one-third of both offshore and in waters and in land areas held by the federal government.
Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, but at least the way I see things is when you have a country that will now be close to $30 trillion in debt, which we're approaching that very, very fast, by the way. It's going up as we speak. I could go look at the world, you know, the debt clock, and it would be increasing dramatically even as you and I are talking right now. But to my knowledge, and maybe I'm wrong in my thought process, but one of the ways to help offset that debt, in fact, in some ways, the only way to really get out of that debt is to take some of the natural resources that we as a country have and maximize those, i.e. through the ways that Trump was doing and even better than what Trump was doing. My point is using those natural resources that are in the ground, taking a sliver off of those to help pay back some of that debt. Is that the only way we can pay it back?
Well, it's a powerful way to do it, and I think that it's one that's used by not just the United States, but other countries as well. You look at China, which is going full bore with its mineral extraction, and the same with Russia and a lot of our competitors. The United States, for a long time, really under Obama, going back to that time frame, really has killed its industries, its extraction and heavy mining industries. Under Trump, and it started a little bit under Obama because a lot of it was on private lands. Fracking took off. We've seen the benefits of that with lower gas prices, great revenues, jobs, and you know, it's concerning to us that this Green New Deal that's being talked about in Congress, which if it actually comes to fruition. And though Biden has said publicly he's against it, but his actions thus far in terms of getting out of Paris, stopping the Keystone Pipeline, doing this moratorium on oil and gas leasing, all seem to be showing that he's not the moderate he ran on. And I think that it will hurt our economy and our revenues, our jobs, all those sorts of things.
Agree.
Yeah, but that's okay, Craig, because it'll be great for Chinese jobs because they've cornered the market on rare earth minerals that are needed in electric cars.
And solar panels and a lot of other things.
Exactly.
And they don't have to abide by the Paris Accord
rules
either. So
yes.
They say they will. They actually, and I don't understand this, Kerry just, you know, has met recently with the Chinese, I guess, by Zoom call, saying that he's confident they're going to move forward. And this mimics what happened under the Obama administration, where China's talking about maybe by 2060 they'll become carbon neutral. But at least up until 2030, they fully intend on building more coal plants, mining more, and of course they're not exactly the best worker conditions or the best for the environment either.
You know, real quick, let's talk about that carbon neutral comment. I noticed that today, it was either today or yesterday, again, President Biden is pushing now a big plan right now that he's got, aggressive plan to do some offshore windmills, saying that's one of the, you know, the direct answers to some of our power needs and so on. But this carbon neutral thing, and again, you, for those of you that are listening that may not know this, Craig was co-producer of the award-winning film Climate Hustle. And Craig, this climate neutral thing, to me, is there even such a thing ever? I mean, if we're here and we're going to use resources as humans, which, by the way, I think we should to make our lives better and lift up the entire world out of poverty, is there ever even such a thing that exists?
Well, it can be done on paper, and a lot of this is somewhat done in terms of how you rig the system to a large degree. But what's really sad about it is it really takes a toll on those who can least afford it.
Right.
Case in point, to be carbon neutral, a lot of times in the West, requires setting aside land in developing countries, and they do that by planting trees or telling the developing countries not to develop, basically, and get their industries going. And when you look at sub-Saharan Africa, where about 5% of the populace has access to electricity, and many of them are just burning wood and dung to heat and use for cooking, for them to put aside their development so that we can feel good about carbon neutral is frankly immoral.
Well, and even using them as an example real quick, they're not carbon neutral either. They have no electricity, but what you just said, and I've been to those countries to see what the forest and things around them look like when they cut down trees to make charcoal. At the end of the day, Craig, they're not carbon neutral either.
No, they're not. No, they're not. But I am concerned. I mean, we at CFAC do a lot of development projects in the developing world, trying to bring people out of poverty and also help protect the environment in those countries. And I cannot begin to tell you the number of people that are really being hurt by the fact that they do not have reliable energy, electricity. And then you have these Hollywood celebrities flying into these countries saying how great it was that they lived the way their ancient ancestors did,
right,
living off the land,
bunch of garbage,
eating organic food, and remaining that way, when that is not our our experience talking to the people there who really do want to live a Western lifestyle and have a better future for their children.
Craig, really quick, I just got to ask you a very simple question. Will you please name for me one thing that has saved more forests and lifted more people out of poverty than oil?
No, that's that. You probably
great
picked
point.
The best one. It's been one of the great liberators of mankind.
That's right.
So, you know, life expectancy, all things have been lifted by our use of fossil fuels. Not saying it's the end all. I mean, you got nuclear power, you got other things.
Right,
that are,
sure, it's true.
Equally good. But one of them is not renewable energy.
Well, but
and
think about this too, Craig. You know, back to Andy's comment a moment ago. Even nuclear power that we have today, had it not been for oil in the very beginning and guys like Rockefeller determining what they could even do with oil and how it could better the world off of that, you wouldn't even have nuclear power today if they hadn't done with oil what they did back in the late 1800s.
No, you're completely correct. There are actually there's a book called The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels by Epstein and Alex Epstein, and commend it to others to read, that actually makes these points exactly. We have a lot of information also at CFAC.org where we bring people through and show them how life has been made better and how these attacks against fossil fuels really are attacks against prosperity and a better future for mankind.
Well, and I wanted to add to what you just said. You sort of took the words out of my mouth, but in a way, when we say that others shouldn't have what we have now, isn't that the highest form of racism or put-downism? I guess it's not a real world, but you know where I'm headed with this. Aren't we really saying we really care nothing about you because we want you to live the lifestyle you currently have and never experience what we've experienced in the United States of America?
It is. It's a little bit patronizing, too. I've been to going to climate conferences going back to the 90s. Again, I said I'm feeling older now. And I've been to about 25 of them around the world. And in every one of these conferences, they never take place in Toledo, Ohio,
right,
or someplace like that. They always are in posh resorts. And they bring in and they talk about indigenous peoples and, you know, all the different things. And you see a big push for that even under Biden with the new EPA administrator talking about environmental racism. Well, there's they can talk all they want, but the bottom line is they themselves don't walk the walk.
No.
And they don't talk for a lot of the indigenous peoples.
Nope. They do not.
Because a lot of them in places like near Anwar want to see that developed for oil and gas leasing, for jobs' sake. People in the Amazon, people in that want to be able to clear some of the Amazon in order to farm and enrich their lives. And much of the Amazon's protected, but the portions that are available for development, they're trying to squeeze those off.
Craig, and I'll let you go with this. I think to prove you, I, and Andy's point, which, by the way, doesn't take much to prove. Look right now to our southern border at the amount of people that are trying to cross, knowing that we are going to try to do amnesty and all sorts of other things as a country here. I mean, just the talk of that has brought hundreds of thousands of individuals to our border. If what all three of us right now are saying weren't true, that would not be happening.
Exactly. The best cure for all of it is economic development, and prosperity is something that I think lifts all boats.
Agree.
Something going back to what Reagan said long ago. So I think that that is where we need to go, not the austerity that's being advocated by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Joe Biden, and others.
Craig, I appreciate it very much. Where do folks find out more about CFACT?
Sure. They can check out our website at CFACT, CFACT.org, or our new movie that's out called Climate Hustle 2 at climatehustle2.com.
Perfect. Craig, thank you as always. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And let's just combine this last break, Charlie. Talk about that just for a few minutes. I think it's very, and we talked about it a moment ago, Andy, demeaning when anyone living in a first world country, or even a second world country for that matter, would go to a less fortunate country, third or fourth world, whatever you want to call it, and then tell them that they have no right to have running water, electricity, or the things that we have in this country.
Yeah, because they're hurting the earth that we've already taken advantage of.
Well, to me, that's just the ultimate poke in the eye of those individuals you're talking to when you say that.
But, John, don't American white liberals know what's best for brown folk around the world?
They think they do. Just ask one.
They can tell brown folk, or because let's face it, that's the nations that they're lecturing. Hmm. They're not lecturing Upper Europe.
No.
Okay?
No, they're not.
No, they're not. They're lecturing South America.
That's right.
They're lecturing Africa. They're lecturing the Middle East. They're lecturing Indonesia. They're lecturing these people and saying, we know better what you should have.
Right.
We know what's best for you. And by the way we can tell this to you is by flying to you on our corporate jet that takes a lot of fossil fuels.
And by the way, everybody listening, I can attest to this, and I can speak to this directly because I've been in these countries. I've seen these people in the villages. I've seen what happens when you bring them fresh water and some of the commodities that we have in a first world country. You can see the glimmer of hope in their eyes, Andy,
right,
when they start seeing and experiencing some of the things that we have in this country, and their yearning as humans is to have exactly what we have, and yet as some white liberal, we're going to run along and tell them they're not allowed to have that. What an insult.
Well, yeah, and it gets back to what you were saying earlier, John. The reason they all flee here is because we're not exporting wisdom there. They've got an incredible – hey, by the way, South America – has much better natural resources than we do on average. There's no reason anyone from there should ever have to. We should all be fleeing there.
Okay. Venezuela, by the way, folks listening, if you don't know about that country, go look it up. They have one of the greatest natural resources across the board of any country on the planet and screwed it up.
Forestry, oil, everything. I mean,
gold,
they are
you name
gold.
It, the whole nine yards.
Right.
It's all there.
But they have socialism. And so they're a mess. And it's like, folks, rather than bringing all those people here, why don't we export free enterprise there?
Great point, Andy. Purefoy Chevrolet is coming up next. I just got an email, by the way, from them. There's some great deals at Purefoy Chevrolet. Just look it up online. I say it all the time. Shop online at purefoychevrolet.com.
The team at Purefoy Chevrolet will never hold you captive or try to force you to buy a new or used vehicle. In a recent Jalopnik article, a consumer protection attorney shared stories of the ridiculous high-pressure tactics used by some auto dealers. In one extreme example, a customer was reportedly prevented from leaving by having her vehicle blocked. In another, more common situation, customers had their car keys hidden from them to keep them from leaving until they agreed to purchase a vehicle. These customers had to call the police before the dealerships would let them drive away. The team at Purefoy Chevrolet sets themselves apart simply by treating their customers with respect. They still follow the standard of customer service set by Rolly's father back in 1960. Ask about their zero-interest financing and vehicles delivered straight to your door. Purefoy Chevrolet in Fort Lupton, only a 20 to 30-minute drive from anywhere in Denver. Find them now at klzradio.com/Chevy. Find new roads.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, we talk a lot when it comes to things in the future. Where are we going to be? Where are we going to be as a country? Inflation, all those different things and factors. You need somebody on your side that can help you navigate all those waters, and that is Al Smith at Golden Eagle Financial. Find him at klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
You can breathe easy knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, folks, the best meat in Colorado, as far as I'm concerned, comes from Barber's Foods, and I will put his meat up against anybody else out there that's selling anything in any other store. And by the way, if you're going to say, well, I can go to so-and-so meat market and buy it, and I'll test you that way. Well, frankly, it probably came from Barber's, and that's the truth.
That's probably true.
He supplies to a lot of the meat markets in town, the high-end meat markets.
By the way, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, you know, because I've had their chicken now. It's incredible, and their burgers are great. What about their salmon? Do they have that coming up? I mean, do they have a good supply?
I don't know how much he has left. They only get that once a year. They had some pallets left. You'd have to check and see if they have any left. I had some last night. It's delicious. It's the best.
What's the difference between their salmon and what you get at the store?
It's fresh. It's not colored. It doesn't come from a farm. It came right from the ocean, and it's the best tasting salmon you'll ever eat.
Okay.
Good enough?
Yep.
All right. Barbersfoods.com is a place to go. It's two S's. Barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barber's Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. One more hour after this, johnsmerrickstream.org will join us, and Representative Patrick Neville will also be with us today as well in the next hour.
Yes, they will. And by the way, also we're going to talk about why are people leaving the church. For the first time ever, church attendance in America is under 50%. And there are some big reasons for that, not just COVID.
Yeah, it's not just the Rona.
No, and I think it's going to be kind of fun because we can talk about, hey, if you haven't gone in a while, why? What is the thing about churches that you like least? We all know the things we like most.
Oh, good question.
But what are the things about churches that you think to yourself, you know, I wish they'd not do this here or not do that there?
Yeah, good one.
Because there are things that have driven people out.
Yeah, no, this is good. Really good. So we'll talk to John Zmarek as soon as we come back, get his latest article. Again, stream.org is where you can find that. And again, as a reminder, if there's anything you hear that you missed that you'd like to go back and recap or find out exactly what I or Andy said, just go to our website, rushtoreason.com. Look at the podcasts that are there. We get those all up typically by the next morning, if not the night of. And it's all easy to just go back in, find out what's there. Ann, our producer, by the way, Dan's sister. That's what she goes by now, Dan's sister, Ann. Is actually putting all that on the website and really kind of categorizing that and helping us out a lot that way as well. So go check it out, rushtoreason.com. We'll be back, though. Hour 3 is next. And again, this is Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.